Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I am your host, Becky Noble. It is awesome that you could all join me here tonight, this day after we celebrate the independence of our nation, the greatest nation on earth. In case you can really pick it up and really hear it this evening, outside of the Conservative Cauldron Studios, well, let's just say people are getting rid of their leftovers from yesterday. So if it sounds like that the Egyptians are invading here, well, you know what it is. Anyway, so again, late happy Independence Day to everyone. I hope everybody had a great Independence Day yesterday. Plenty of barbecue and fun with family and friends, but also to remember what and why we take that day to take the time out and remember what and why we celebrate. But oh my gosh, we've got so much to get into tonight and a short amount of time to do it in, so we ought to just hop right in here and do it. It's been a wild and crazy week in Egypt. Remember how the Arab Spring was going to make everything right and democracy was going to flow throughout the Middle East and the Egyptians were going to be the trendsetters, all because Barack Obama was supporting Mohamed Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood, by the way, when they swept into power and ousted Hosni Mubarak. And everything was going to be great. Everything was going to be just fresh air and sunshine, and we were all going to live happily ever after and sing Kumbaya. Well, as we all know, that has not happened this week. It really is what a lot of people are calling a coup. Mohamed Morsi was ousted on Wednesday night as the president of Egypt, who was installed again by our own Barack Obama. And it's been a very violent week in Egypt. So far, at least today, there have been 26 people killed in clashes between anti-Morsi and pro-Morsi supporters. And it's not going to end anytime soon. It's the police are rounding up a lot of the Muslim Brotherhood, a lot of Morsi's cohorts, and they say that they are going to start prosecuting them sometime next week. That remains to be seen if that's actually going to happen or not. But of course, the United States trotted out some weeb to say that we condemn the violence, of course, and the actual, this is from the Fox News website, the actual statement here from Jen Psaki, who is the State Department spokeswoman, said, quote, "We condemn the violence that has taken place today in Egypt We call on all Egyptian leaders to condemn the use of force and to prevent further violence among their supporters. Yeah, I'm sure that they're going to get right on it, and I'm sure that's going to happen. And, of course, we had a useless statement from the useless United Nations. United Nations UN Chief Ban Ki-moon said there's no place for retribution or for the exclusion of any major party or community. And, well, again, yeah, they're going to get right on it. The military, of course, claims to be not taking sides. However, they are the ones that went in and got Mohamed Morsi and basically placed him under house arrest. So he's not going anywhere anytime soon. He's kind of cooling his heels. But we do have the latest here from ABC News. We do have the latest on what's going on the ground there in Egypt.
First democratically elected president Mohamed Morsi was pushed out, ousted by the military yesterday. ABC's global affairs anchor Christiane Amanpour and ABC's Martha Raddatz are here live. But first, let's go to ABC's Alex Marquardt with the very latest from Cairo this morning. Alex.
Good morning, Elizabeth. It's clear the military is trying to shut down Morsi's power base, the long outlawed Islamist group, the Muslim Brotherhood. They have arrested Morsi, several top officials, and issued arrest warrants for around 300 of its members. It's clear the military is trying to take this over, take this country over, as smoothly as possible.
Jubilation erupting on Tahrir Square as the news spread that President Morsi had been deposed. Yet another Egyptian leader taken down by the people on this now iconic square.
For every single blood that has been shed in this country, we've been waiting for this moment.
Anger had been growing against Morsi. His opponents accused him of doing nothing to fix Egypt's severe economic crisis and said his party, the Muslim Brotherhood, was trying to control Egyptian life.
They were changing us. They were changing the way we dress up, the way we talk, the way we even deal within the society.
So on Sunday, the first anniversary of Morsi's election, nationwide demonstrations were called. Millions turned out in what's believed to be the country's biggest protest ever. The crowd so big, the anger so deep, that on Monday at 5 p.m., the military issued an ultimatum to Morsi. Heed the people's demands or we'll intervene. As military helicopters flew over Tahrir Square, the crowds roared, convinced the military was on their side. Just before midnight on Tuesday, Morsi took to the airwaves, slamming the military's ultimatum and arguing he was elected legitimately. Morsi's supporters said he just needed more time.
We would like to give Dr. Morsi the full chance in order to achieve our hopes.
On Wednesday afternoon, the ultimatum expired. As the crowds grew, so did the confusion.
You have no idea who's running the country right now.
Not right now. At this moment, we have no idea.
Then, at 9 p.m., the military made their announcement. Morsi was out. Euphoria on Tahrir. Fury at the Muslim Brotherhood protest just 6 miles away. In an online video released minutes later, Morsi lashed out, saying the revolution was stolen and warning ominously, whoever planned this, he said, wants to spill the blood of the Egyptian people.
There's still a small celebration going on here on Tahrir. They've been firing off some fireworks. Just a short time ago, the new interim president was sworn in. He is Egypt's top constitutional judge. The military is trying hard to make sure that this doesn't look like a coup, but Morsi supporters are saying that's exactly what it is, and they have vowed to stay in the streets.
So, that is the latest on what's going on in the streets of Egypt right now today. And again, Mohamed Morsi was a leader who was completely installed. Not only Mohamed Morsi, but Mohamed Morsi is a complete and total Muslim Brotherhood guy. And he was installed by Barack Obama and the American government. And they are still even supporting returning Morsi to power. And so it will be interesting to see in the coming days and weeks how that works out for him, basically, because you're seeing people in the streets in Egypt are carrying signs that are mocking and belittling Barack Obama for supporting this regime, because basically this regime has left Egypt's economy in a shambles, kind of like our own economy. Gee, do you see a pattern forming here? And so it's going to be very interesting to see if Obama and his buddies, if they continue to support this ousted leader, or will they kind of give up and say, okay, you win, and let the people of Egypt elect who they want to elect, and let them form the kind of government that they want to form, and just support them in the leadership that they elect. Or is he really, we all know that Barack Obama does not like it when he doesn't get his way. We've all fell victim to it. So it will be interesting to see maybe if he, when he throws a temper tantrum, when he doesn't get his way, is he going to take it out on the Egyptian people like he does the American people? Because, like I said, we've all, as a nation, as a whole, we've been victim of that, of Barack Obama's temper tantrum. So it's going to be interesting to see what goes on there in the coming days and weeks. And, of course, we will absolutely follow this. Other things this week, of course, we have the George Zimmerman trial, which, oh, my God, I know there's a lot of us who, when the subject of this trial comes up, everyone rolls their eyes and says, oh, my God, don't get me started. We all have our own, thoughts about who's innocent and who's guilty and who did what to who. But today, I believe probably by maybe sometime next week, and I believe I read where they think that this trial is going to go about 6 to 8 weeks. And I believe that the state is kind of in the process of wrapping up their case, maybe by sometime next week that the defense will be presenting their case. But today we had both the mother of Trayvon Martin and the mother of George Zimmerman. Both ladies took the stand today, and they were talking about, they were being questioned about whose voice it was on the 911 tape that was heard yelling for help. Trayvon Martin's mother, Sabrina Fulton, first and foremost, she's lost her child. She's lost her son. And I think regardless of the circumstances, I think that our hearts all go out to her because she has lost her child. And so with that thought in mind, I really, when I saw the clips of this, it really was, it's going to sound cold and callous for me to say this, but it was a complete and total waste of time for both of these ladies to have taken the stand, because I don't think you have to be a lawyer. You don't have to have a law degree hanging on your wall to know that both of these ladies are going to get up on the stand, and when they are asked, is that the voice of your son on this 911 tape? They're both going to say yes. And in fact, that's exactly what happened. Sabrina Fulton, Trayvon Martin's mother, got up on the stand and was asked, is this the voice of your son on this 911 tape? And of course she said, yes, it is. That's my son. Next, when Gladys Zimmerman, the mother of George Zimmerman, got on the stand and was asked, whose voice is that on these 911 tapes? Mrs. Zimmerman, of course, said, yes, that's my son. So I thought it was really kind of silly. I'm not sure what they were hoping to accomplish, because I think we all know that, like I said, both of these ladies were going to get up on the stand and say, when asked, they were going to say, yes, that's my son. So we will see what goes on from there. I think that was really kind of about all of the drama that went on today in the courtroom, was both mothers saying that the voices on the tape was their son. There was no interesting witnesses like Rachel Gentile or anything like that. Like I said, I think the defense will begin to present their case maybe next week, maybe the early part of the week after next. So we will get to hear another side of this, and we will get to hear some details that we have not previously heard in this case. So anyway, I'm going to take a break here. We are going to come back in a minute. I've got a poll here done by Gallup that says Republicans are more proud to be Americans than Democrats. Things that make you go, Anyway, I am Becky Noble, your host. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio on Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Come on back. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
Your host, you are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio on Blog Talk Radio Network. I am so glad that you could join me tonight. Of course, it is Friday night. Where else would you be but listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio with your favorite friendly neighborhood witch? So, we were celebrating our nation's independence yesterday, and I think on the whole, I don't think that when you get right down to it, when you get that right down to the nuts and bolts, to the nitty-gritty, yes, America is not perfect. Yes, America has her problems. And I think that we're working on those problems. And so I think, like I said, when you get right down to it, I think at the very core of it, I think we're all proud to be American. But I got a poll here. It was in the Washington Examiner yesterday, appropriately enough. And it's a poll done by Gallup, and it says Republicans more proud to be American than Democrat. And so they polled people who describe themselves as Republicans, describe themselves as independents, and describe themselves as Democrats. And the categories were extremely or very proud, moderately proud, or only a little or not at all proud. Republicans came in at the top at 93%. Of those polled, and this is a poll done between June 1st and the 4th of this year, 93% of Republicans are very proud to be American. Coming in secondly is Democrats, actually, at 85%. And bringing up the rear here is independents, who were 81% of them were proud to be American. So that kind of says a lot. It kind of says about, kind of tells you, maybe it's unfair to say, but I mean, a poll is a poll is a poll. And so maybe it's telling you who's bringing up the lead here, patriotism-wise. And then they broke it down by conservatives, moderates, and liberals. Again, the categories being extremely or very proud to be an American, moderately proud, or only a little or not at all proud. And wouldn't you know it, conservatives came in number one at 89%. Who were extremely proud to be Americans. Imagine that. Let's see. Coming in here, secondly, was moderates at 86%. And what do you know, bringing up the rear was our buddy the liberals at 76%. Apparently, Democrats and liberals, well, they're kind of hard to please, and we just can't seem to get them to the front of the line there when it comes to patriotism and being proud of their country. You would think, wait a minute, I thought that when we elected Barack Obama, that we were all going to be proud to be Americans, and he was going to make the whole world love us again. So why aren't they proud to be Americans? What's the problem? Guess we'll have to find some Democrats and some liberals. Maybe they would call in. Hey, Democrats and liberals, call and tell me why you're not proud to be Americans. Call me at 347-857-2620, And maybe you can explain this to us. We'll be waiting. So there's that. And here a little more locally, we had Governor Jay Nixon veto some legislation here on Friday. This is from KMBC-TV in Kansas City. Governor Jay Nixon vetoed legislation Friday that would have made it a Missouri crime for federal agents to attempt to enforce federal gun laws in the state and could have landed journalists in jail for publishing the names of gun owners. Now, there have been a lot since the Newtown shooting, of course. There have been a lot of states that have passed a lot of gun laws. And Missouri having a supermajority of Republicans in both the House, Missouri House and Missouri Senate, we can pretty much veto anything that Jay Nixon puts in front of us. But let's see, the Democratic governor said the bill passed by the Republican-led legislature violated the Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution, which generally gives preference to federal laws over conflicting state ones. He said it also infringed on the First Amendment rights of free speech and press. Okay, how does that work? Because without the Second Amendment, you're not going to have a First Amendment. And I think we really have a problem. What is it that liberals don't understand about the phrase shall not be infringed in the Second Amendment that they just, it doesn't register, they can't wrap their brain around it? And you know what? Nobody wants another Newtown shooting. None of us want that. None of us want another crazy gun-toting dude going through schools and shooting up babies. Nobody wants that. But, you know, people are seeing the infringement that the federal government wants to inflict upon us. And, you know, there's just, there's got to be something done about it. And so anyway, a lot of states have passed a lot of state measures that would prevent federal gun laws from going forward and being enforced. Some supporters of the legislation had proclaimed it one of the most gun-friendly bills ever passed by a state legislature. Nixon, however, said it could have had extreme consequences. Under this bill, newspaper editors around the state that annually publish photos of proud young Missourians who harvest their first turkey or deer could be charged with a crime, the governor said in a written statement announcing the veto. Of course, the legislature is going to need a two-thirds majority vote in both the House and the Senate to override Nixon's veto when they return to session in September. And that probably will happen. Like I said, there is a supermajority in both the Missouri House and Missouri Senate. And I would think that it shouldn't be a problem. The legislation would also have made it a misdemeanor crime for federal agents to attempt to enforce any federal gun regulations that infringe on the people's right to keep and bear arms. It also sought to invalidate some specific federal laws, including a 1934 law that imposed a tax on transferring machine guns or silencers. I don't know if that's, 1934, what do you know? What do you think was going on in 1934? I don't know, Bonnie and Clyde and John Dillinger and, you know, people of that ilk, I guess. So there's that. Other provisions in the bill would have allowed school teachers and administrators with concealed guns and special training to be designated as a, quote, school protection officer capable of carrying hidden guns into school. And, of course, that is a direct answer to the Newtown shooting, that part of the thing was that we wanted people to somebody could be designated as a safety officer so that something horrific like this were to happen again, that people aren't just sitting ducks, that there's somebody there in the school or in whatever facility it may be it a school, be it a church, whatever it is, that somebody is going to be able to defend that group of people, because that's exactly what happened in Newtown. And in fact, this kid looked for someplace with, you know, one of those, so you see those signs, you see them at hospitals, I see them at hospitals, I won't tell you which one, that have a gun with a big red arrow through them. And you know what that says to me? That says to me, it's a matter of time. These kind of guys, these kind of crazy gunmen, they're looking for places like this. And so anyway, without me getting off onto anything, anyway, the veto session is going to be in September when all of this comes down. And so that's going to be pretty interesting to see what happens there. Quickly moving along here, I'd like to play some audio of Ted Cruz talking about Independence Day because I think it was really a cool video. And I've got the audio portion of it here, so let's give it a listen.
Hi, I'm Ted Cruz. Happy Independence Day. The 4th of July is the quintessential American holiday. The Founding Fathers' bold declaration to the world that we were separating from Great Britain to pursue self-government could not have been a more risky, uncertain course. Yet they stood up, motivated by principle, by faith in providence, and by the desire for freedom. And together they created the greatest country on earth. Today, there are many reasons to be concerned about our nation's direction. Americans are engaged in difficult debates about the future of our country, about the balance between the individual versus the state, between the states and the federal government, and ultimately between liberty and tyranny. But each year, no matter what else, we all gather together as Americans to celebrate Independence Day. And there's hope in that fact. While we may see the world in very different ways, we are all united on this day in striving to build and maintain that shining city on a hill. 55 years ago, my father escaped oppression in Cuba and came to America penniless, not speaking a word of English. He worked his way through college making 50 cents an hour. Nearly everyone in America has a story like that in their family. All of us are the children of those who risked everything for freedom. When I was a kid growing up in Houston, my dad used to ask me, "If we lose our freedom here, where do we go?" That question, especially on Independence Day, is a strong reminder that we're fighting for America's bedrock principles of freedom and opportunity. So enjoy the day, see your family and friends, and set aside a little time to reread the Declaration of Independence. It remains as profound and relevant today as when Thomas Jefferson wrote it in 1776. As Jefferson so powerfully observed, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator, not by kings, not by queens, not by a president, but by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is our legacy. That's our shared heritage. Heidi and I wish everyone a safe and happy 4th of July. And may God watch over those in harm's way defending our independence. God bless you.
I couldn't have said it any better myself. I tried to. You can check out my Independence Day blog over at theconservativecauldron.blogspot.com. Easy for me to say. theconservativecauldron.blogspot.com. Anyway, before I go, I just want to let everyone know that everyone's favorite conservative rock and roller, Ted Nugent, is contemplating a run for president. Personally, I think he's going to have to take a pay cut, but he's already got a good campaign slogan here, and it goes something like this. Hi, I'm Ted Nugent. I have 9 children, 7 women, and I'm running for president. Looks like he's got my vote. Anyway, that's all the time I've got for tonight. Like I said, please check out my blog at theconservativecauldron.blogspot.com. Check me out on Facebook at BeckyNoble.com/Facebook. I am also on Twitter at PatriotWitch. Please check out my pieces at Examiner.com and WatchdogWire.com. Hope everybody had a great Independence Day. Keep it safe if you're still shooting off fireworks. And we will talk later on next Friday night, of course. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Becky Noble. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio. Mm-hmm.